Praise the Lord and Happy New Year. I remember when Prince sang his song 1999, and I used to wonder, what it's going to be like in 1999. Now I say, I wish we were back in 1999. Way back in 1999. It's good to see all of you, and I hope and I do pray that you will make it to the banquet just for some fellowship and fun. And cheaper than McDonald's. It really is. You say, well, I don't like crowds. So what? Jesus probably didn't like them either, but he subjected himself to it. I'm sure he didn't want to always be in the group of people, but he did it. And we need you anyway. We need you in there. I may have to go back and forth because I just realized 2 minutes ago that I forgot my Bible. So I've got my iPad, but to bounce back and forth, it can be a little difficult. But we'll do our best with it. If you have a Bible and you want to open it to Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, while you're turning there, if you have or if you need more information on the Daniel fast, we probably did not. If you're newer, we might not have explained it well enough for you, but there is information back on the Welcome Center. Colin, you might want to tell Kevin, I think he's in my office hunting for my Bible, and I think I left it at home. So don't make him hunt all service if you don't mind. Alexis, I'm going to need you today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you put up my next verse when I'm ready for it. So I'll try to have to bounce back and forth. You have them all. So when I tell you to go, you go. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. They're going to pray for us. And I would like to preach to you for a few moments on the title, It Takes More Than a Promise. It Takes More Than a Promise. Would you pray for us?
Thank you, Lord, for allowing us all here to be here today, God. I pray, Lord, that we would, Lord, cut out all distractions, God. And I pray, Lord, that we would just focus on you, God, and your word that you've given Pastor to bring. God, I pray, Lord, that you bless Pastor with strength and Lord, that he could just bring this clear and that we could let this settle in our spirits, Jesus, and that we would take this with us into the Daniel fast and be strong during this fast. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you. Now, I've got a lot of scripture, and that's traditionally not appropriate. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through most of them. Many of them are one-liners or two-liners, and then we'll throw some commentary in there and try and make our point. But the first thing, before I jump to my next verse that she's going to get ready, it's important to notice that their prayer did not remove the process, but it just started it. Are you here? Their prayer did not remove the process. The reason that is important is because oftentimes when we begin to pray, we want God to fix everything right now and to do whatever we would like him to do. But that's not what prayer always does. Prayer gets God's attention, and then it initiates a change of direction or a change of path in our life. Now, are you with me? I'm gonna probably say that 100 times today. Because for you to get what I want to bring to you, I need your attention. So their prayer did not remove. God didn't just zap them out of Egypt. And I know you might think, well, that's obvious. But we do not give enough credit to television and social media and how it impacts our lives. One of my favorite shows back in the 80s was Doctor Who. Any Doctor Who people in here? He would warp from one place to another. That's not reality. You cannot just go from one place of your life to another, but God has to take you there. And there's reasons for that, and we'll talk about it. So God's promise, Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to read two verses here. He says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So God's promise immediately becomes clear. But the verses I'm going to read is to pull out some highlights for you and help you to understand immediately following God's promise, confusion and strife settled in. Now, hear me if you would. Whatever you encounter in your walk with God that is not a reflection of God's promises falling apart. Whatever you go through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever heartaches or hardships or frustrations or struggles, that does not mean that God's changed his mind and he no longer has a promise for you. Now, probably about every one of us here today, at some point in your life, you called out to the Lord, whether you were raised in church or whether you were out there in the world and you prayed a prayer, God, if you're real. And at that moment, God heard you. At that moment, God set a plan in place. That is how God operates. And we'll come back to that. So God gathers them together after this promise, and he says, this is what I'm going to do. And he gives them a promise, very clear. I will take you into a land that flows with milk and honey. And today we still live off of those same promises. God has promised us a place that we call heaven. Then why is it that we so easily forget about those promises as life marches on? Because the enemy will always bring confusion, strife, and division to cause you to forget what God has already pledged. Exodus 4 and 1. Immediately after God hears their cries, and he shares his promise with Moses and tells him to share it with the people, it says, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, I want to put all this in real time for you if we can. That's like me getting up and preaching a message to you, but in your mind, you just shrug it off. In your mind, you say, well, that's just your opinion. You don't attribute it to the Lord. It's just an opinion, and there's reasons for that, and I'm going to explain it. But immediately, we act like this whole thing that we call a Christian walk is so obvious and so easy, and that's not right. And it's because unfortunately, there are many that have watered this down so far that they have taken the reality of the gospel out of the church. And so the reality of the gospel is just like this. The moment God hears your cry, the moment God makes promises in your life, immediately other things begin to settle in. Immediately, Satan begins to try and confuse us and twist our thinking. And he begins to show us the realities on the ground. And so we become discouraged or frustrated. But we never realize that what's happening is there's a separation between God's promise and my faith that's happening, and I'm letting it happen because I don't attribute the two as being one, but they are. There's distance being created between you and the promises that God has made in your life. with every frustration, with every trial, with every hardship, with every heartache, with every ounce of sin in your life, everything. And so Moses said, they're not going to listen. He said, they're not going to believe. They're not going to listen to my voice. He said, they're going to say, the Lord didn't tell you this. And even today, we still do the same thing. I've had words that the Lord has given me directly to share with the church over the years. One of the most recent ones that I recall that I wrote down was in 2020. I still have it. And from time to time, I still go and read it. And I wonder sometimes when we share those things, how many people think it's just crazy old me or it is the Lord? Why? Because we do not believe sometimes that God really will use men for his purpose. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. In our day of miracles, signs, and wonders, and I love them, I believe in them, but we don't always look at miracles, signs, and wonders the way we need to. First of all, it is a miracle that some of you are sitting in this church today. It is a miracle that God took you out of your lifestyle and put your feet on a whole different path. There are miracles in our lives that God spared us from, heartaches and pains that we don't even realize yet, because we get so wrapped up in other things, because we as a people tend to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. That's why some people struggle with the Daniel fast. I can't eat hamburgers rather than, hey, thank God for rice. But see, sometimes God has to bring us to a place where we thank God for rice. What doesn't taste good? That's the whole point of the Daniel fast. It's not supposed to appease the senses or the appetite. It's supposed to cause us to refocus ourselves and to thank God for the little things in life and not be so wrapped up. Well, you got the point. And so God says, I'm going to do some miracles. I'm going to do some signs and some wonders in front of them. He didn't heal a withered hand then. God did not cause a blind eye to be opened. He said, you're going to pour water on the ground, I'll turn it to blood. Now, who would call that a miracle or a sign or a wonder? But when God can step in and he can change the situation and the circumstance, he can change the reality, that is a miracle. That is a sign. It is a wonder. It's a wonderful thing that God can take a heathen and put him in a church and cause him to lift his hands and magnify the Lord. That in itself is a wonder. But you see, God does, he does these wonders and miracles, and some people have had healings, and I myself have, and they've had God do things, but for some reason, that's still never enough. Why? Because we always forget. That's just who we are. Look at verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. The rod was supposed to represent the authority that God had given Moses. And so God wants us to recognize authority, spiritual authority. Why? God wants us to take comfort in spiritual authority. God wants us to believe in spiritual authority. God wants us to rely upon spiritual authority. But sometimes we have become accustomed to having no authority in our life because we are Americans and we champion freedom, and I can do what I want, and I can say what I want, and I can live how I want, and I can believe what I want, and I don't have to believe your God as long as I believe in a God, and all that's a farce. And so God takes a man and he gives spiritual authority. Why? Because that is supposed to cause us to believe. When you see God use somebody who shouldn't be used in such a wonderful way. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And so with every act, and I'm kind of writing a little bit of a story today, with every act of faith will come some resistance. It's not a reality that you're just going to cruise through life and God's going to make plants and food grow in your backyard and he's going to sprinkle a little money down from heaven every once in a while, and every time you want to go buy a new toy, he's going to throw some money in your mailbox by a stranger, and every time you get a little boo-boo, God's just going to make it disappear, and he's going to, the very moment you speak, God's going to say, yes, sir, let me take care of that for you now, sir. That's not a reality. There's some resistance that comes. Why? Because there is an adversary. There's always been an adversary. There's always been spiritual influence that has worked against you, worked against your decisions, worked against your plan, your lifestyle, your changes. Don't be surprised because one day you step foot in the church and you loved everything in the beginning, but now it just seems like you're frustrated all the time because you're not recognizing the opposition. And God deliberately hardened Pharaoh's heart. I will tell you today that sometimes God will send some opposition in your life in order to shape us and to mold us and to groom us into the person that God is trying to get. We don't have to understand it. We just roll with it. But again, we're Americans. We don't roll with anything. And if God doesn't do it, I'll go find me a doctor that will do it. If I don't like the way God made me, I'll find a doctor to pump a little stuff in there, make me better over here. If God don't answer my prayers, I'll find somebody in this world that can fix my problem, because we are America. And in America, we have all the technology in the world. We can go into Venezuela, and in 30 minutes, we can take the president and bring him back to the United States. We're America. Now, I don't say that jokingly. I'm just saying whatever your, that's not my point, your political position on that. My point is we are a great nation, and I love our great nation, but sometimes great nations forget who their God is because their nation is so great, and that is Nebuchadnezzar. He was a great nation, and because of that, he forgot all about who it was that brought him to the greatness in his life. So my point is, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, I don't understand why God would do that. You don't have to understand. We are the subjects. That's who we are. We trust God to do what only God can do, and God knows his plan. When he stepped in and he heard their cry and he heard their groans, he heard their suffering, God began to put a plan in place. But because God's wisdom is far superior to ours, it doesn't matter if you have a PhD or not. You're still dumb when it compares yourself to God. And he already looked ahead and he saw the path. He already calculated all of it, every opposition that's necessary and unnecessary. And God began to, he began to pave your road into eternity. But we have to trust him. Now listen to me. Let me go back to that just for 1 second. Every person in this building, when you first stepped foot in church and you felt the presence and the power of God, when he first filled you with the Holy Ghost, every single person in this church, you'd have sold your soul at that moment for what you felt, because you loved it that much. You believed it that much. There was no wrong in the church then. You didn't care who the leadership were. There was no bad preaching. There was none. You didn't care how much money they asked you to give. You'd drain your bank account if you could. Why? Because when God first steps in and you feel the unction, you feel the wind beneath your wings, and you see very clearly when God first makes those pledges and those promises in your life, nothing else matters. But time, 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 as those of us that are getting older can see, time tends to take a toll. And when time takes a toll, our faith begins to wane. I've always marveled at people that whine to God when their 90-year-old grandmother dies. I really have. I know you can't say this at funerals, but I want to say, what did you expect? 300 years old? First of all, you're selfish. She don't want to live to 300. I can assure you of that. You say, well, how do you know? Because I listen to my wife's 90, 91, 92-year-old grandmother. Every year, she just, I just want to go home. Every Christmas, I just want to go. I might not be here next year. I just want to go home. That's all she could think about. Why? Because your body gets old. It breaks down. You're not the person you used to be. Newsflash to you young cutesy wootsies. It ain't going to be that way forever. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to have hurts and pains and aches everywhere. Things you don't even realize. You're going to things go on. You don't know what's happening to you, what's going on. Yep. So God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I'm not doing a good enough job and moving fast enough. I'm sorry. Verse 31. Did we read that yet? We didn't. And the people believed when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and they worshiped. Now, I know I'm going a little slow for some of you, but just you got to follow this. God hears their cry, their misery. They're just miserable with life. Life is just that bad. God steps in. God sends Moses. They immediately start whining. He says, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to hear my voice. And they go back and forth. We believe, we whine. We believe, we whine. We believe, we whine. It's kind of the whole process. And it says they believed. Thank the Lord. In verse 2 of chapter 5, here comes the resistance after their faith. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So immediately the opposition, the adversary, begins to say, not happening. Listen, the day that you stepped foot into God's church and the day that you first made a pledge and lifted your hands, I'm here to tell you now that there was an adversary that said, not going to happen. I'm not going to let him go. I'm not just going to relinquish the hold that I've had for 420 years on this family. I'm not going to do it. Some of you stubborn people, I'm going to go preach by you. I really am. Drive me nuts. Thank you. Remember what it was like when you were miserable and God stepped in. Remember that he heard your cry, that he heard your plea. Remember what it was like when you stepped foot into the church and you felt the presence of God for the first time. Remember how you felt. There's a reason I'm going to talk to some of you newly married people now because you get on my nerves too. There's a reason he said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry about your new bride. Don't worry about your fields. There's a reason. Because God said, I don't want you getting married. My husband, oh, my wife, oh, no. And then you forget all about God. You forget about God's plan for your life. You forget about God's will for your life. It's all about what God gave you. God don't give you nothing that will separate you from him. If it comes between you and God, it ain't from God. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be blessed of the Lord, but I'm just saying it's not from God. Whew, I got that off my chest. That feels good. I'm being serious for a minute. And I understand, you know, and there's a lot of new married couples, so none of you can say, why is he picking on me? I'm picking on all of you. Well, you just forgot what it was like to be newly married. Thank God. Thank God I'm out of that fantasy. And I've moved into reality. And thank God that I know now after 28 years, I actually really love my wife. I'm not just in lust. Thank God. My wife said something to me that made me feel really good. She doesn't always make me feel good. I'm just kidding. She said, honey, she said, the difference between you and a lot of people, she said, when you got married, you continued to do the same things in church you always did. Now, she probably didn't like it back then. She said, you didn't miss a beat. You were always there. You were always in youth group. You were always at prayer. She goes, you did the same. She said, a lot of people don't. They get married and they just forget. Can I preach for a second? But there was a day when God stepped into your life. There was a day. Tell him I'm preaching, if you would. Just pick it up. Answer it real quick. Say, hey, pastor's preaching. I can't tell where it's coming from, so don't worry. There was a day that you would have given the Lord anything, but time and opposition happens to us all. And so Pharaoh said, who is God that I should obey his voice? You need to understand, as she turns to verse 7, that Satan is going to work every single day to drag you back where God has brought you from. And if that alone does not call you, oh, I'm going to go off again. Here I go. Are you ready? I don't know how many military guys I got in here, but I'm coming at you this morning. I am coming at you. I love, I'm going to hit every category today if I can. I don't want to hear about how great you were or about your service if you can't fight just as hard for your family. Now listen, I'm not saying that with any rudeness at all. What I'm saying is, great, God made you a soldier, then be a soldier in your home. Just because you took the jacket and the patches off doesn't mean you can stop soldiering. Sometimes you're going to have to get down the trenches when the enemy is after your home, and you're going to have to learn to fight again. And you're going to have to take on the battles that you don't want to take on. Come on, somebody. Help me out here this morning. God prepared you. He taught you how to fight. Fight for your families. Fight for your homes. Stop tucking your tail between your legs and throwing a few bucks at the problem. That doesn't fix anything. Fight for them. Fight for your children. Fight for your freedom. Fight for your walk with God. Fight for your family. Fight for God's promises in your life. You say, did they fight? Sure did. Fought a lot. Why? Because Satan's going to always try and drag you back. I'm just trying to tell you how to go on this new year. You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. Verse 9. Watch. Let their more work be laid upon the men that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. So it's not a surprise when you have embarked on this journey that sometimes it gets harder. Listen to me. Because the adversary is jealous that you believe in this freedom thing that God wants to give you. He hates this joy stuff. He hates the peace of God that passes all understanding. So he's going to put more on you and more on you. And then what's worse than sometimes the load seeming heavier? He said, don't let them regard vain words. Oh, pastor, I've heard that God was going to do it for years. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Vain words. You are doing exactly what the adversary wants you to do. I've heard it's going to get better for the last year. Ain't nothing changed. Vain words. I've heard Jesus is coming. I've been hearing that my whole life. He hasn't come yet. Vain words. That's the adversary telling you, don't regard vain words. What were the vain words that he was talking about? That God is going to bring you out so you can worship the Lord freely. God's going to bring you into a place of promise. God's going to restore everything that has been stolen from you. Oh, those are vain words. God can't do everything. Well, God hasn't done it yet. Come on, somebody. And when you begin to think like that, I want you to remember this one thing today. If you remember nothing else, you are speaking exactly what the adversary wants you to speak. exactly what he wants you to, because he does not want you to believe that God is still working and that God will still do it. Verse 17. But he said, you are idle. You are idle. Therefore, you say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. He hates your worship. Verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. Now we're going to get into the meat here. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put his sword in their hand to slay us. Now you got to watch this. I'm getting to the end of my scriptures. So you see the back and forth. They cried out to God. He heard them. He sends Moses. Tells Moses, do some signs and wonders and miracles. They'll believe. If they don't believe, here's a couple other things for you to do. A little complaining, back and forth, back and forth. All of this wonderful, wonderful news, wonderful promises of God. Listen to me. Hear this. You don't, okay, can I just preach freely for a moment? Can I have your permission? This is not meant as condescending or anything of that nature. But you don't not come to church because whatever excuse you have for that day, you don't come because the enemy has confused your path. And he has caused you to forget. And the weight and the burden that he has placed upon you more has robbed you of the way. And I've always been amazed that people come to the point where they get annoyed at the pastor. I've always been amazed at that. I've always been bewildered when people get offended at you for silly stuff, trife stuff. Why? Because I know what's happening. I know I'm kind of talking this morning, and some of you can't stay awake if I just talk. So I'm working here. Just help me out. All that God had done to this point, all of his promises, and they get upset at Moses. Not only do they get upset at him. Now, why did they get upset at Moses? You want to know why? I'm going to tell you exactly why. Are you ready? Because Moses kept pushing them. Through every doubt, every discouragement, every frustration, he kept pushing. And people don't like to be pushed. But you know what I found out? That's actually a lie. People do like to be pushed. People want to be pushed. Do you know why people want to be pushed? Because deep down inside, nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. And when people get in that thinking where it begins, your thinking is just all screwed up. And you know your head's not right. You don't want to tell anybody because you got too much pride to admit that. But your thing. And then, so what do? So you get upset at the pastor. You should have left me back there in the world. You should just let. I'm okay being a slave to Pharaoh. I'm okay being a slave to the world. I'm okay never having a day of joy in my life. I just drink myself to death. I'll pop a few more pills. I'll buy some more things and make me happy for a few minutes until it breaks down. And then I'll go buy something else. And then I'll buy something else. And I'll buy something else. Because we live in America. And America's got all kind of stuff you can buy. And all kind of cool toys and gadgets. And I got a phone. And I got 1,000 games I can put on my phone. And there's a lot of things I can do to keep myself busy. My God, there he is again. Prayer Friday at 7:00. God, if he asked me to go to that banquet one more time, I'm gonna say something. Yes, I know there's church on Sunday. You don't have to send out 3 messages reminding us about service on Sunday. But I know that sometimes we got to be pushed. We have to be pushed. And deep down inside, most people want to be pushed. They don't want you giving up on them,
but they don't want you to push them, but they really want to push. Yeah, I really do need you. Please don't give up on me while I'm trying, but yeah, just don't push me. Well, what would you like me to do? Let you fall into hell? Moses pushed and pushed and pushed. And he pushed and he pushed and he pushed. And they got upset at his pushing, and you should have just left us right where we were. We were okay. You weren't okay there. Did you forget about your cry? Did you forget about your misery? Did you forget about your addiction? Did you forget about your loneliness? Did you forget about your depression? Did you forget how you felt? Did you forget that you were going to kill yourself before that flyer showed up on your door? I've had people tell me that more than once. I was going to commit suicide that day, and I got an invitation to church. Why? Because God heard your cry. You see, sometimes it takes more than a promise. Promises are great, but promises will not keep us going. As we can tell, there's millions upon millions of people who are backslidden away from God with a promise. But sometimes you need a push. You need someone to push into that promise. I've needed pushed many times. Chapter 6, verse 1. Let me get to these last couple verses here. And the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. So God reiterates his promises. Always, it's important to know that there was always one man that had his pulse on the promises. Why? Because it is in our nature to forget. And so God has to find somebody. Listen, Moses could have just looked out for himself. I can just look out for myself, my own family. I can say fooey on all of you. I'll get me and my family to heaven. But God knows that we need somebody that's willing to be that person that will stand in that gap. Not because you're special, not because you're important, but because you're called. Because God calls those he knows will stand there. And those who will push and those who will not give up on you, no matter how ugly you are, no matter how nasty your spirit might be, no matter how much sin you fall into, the person that will still keep pushing and pushing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. You can do this. God is able. You'll see. Watch and see. There's something happening. God's doing something. There are promises still. You haven't obtained that which God has for you yet. Somebody to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now watch this. Watch this. Are you ready? Can I have all your attention for 10 seconds? Watch this. He is the Lord. He will bring you out from all of your burdens, and he will bring you into your promise. I just did what he told Moses to do. Did that fall flat, or do you believe it? Will you receive that? And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out hand, arm, and with great judgments. Is there anybody here that if I say to you, God is going to bring you out of your bondage, if I say to you, God's going to bring you out of your thinking, if I tell you that God is going to put joy in your life that you never knew existed, if I tell you that one day you're going to look back and you're going to say, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm glad that he kept pushing. I'm glad that you kept believing in me. I'm glad that I wouldn't give up. Now watch. I'm gonna hurt you for a second. And I didn't take a picture of who wasn't clapping there. But if you, and sometimes we don't clap because we're paying attention. I understand all that. But sometimes we don't clap because we really just don't believe it. You know why? Because my mind is still so Egyptian. It's so Egyptian. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And so here he is again. He's reassuring us of his promises, because from time to time, we need God to remind us of his promises. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. I can tell you, as a pastor, it's maddening. It's maddening beyond words. I mean, these poor guys that come into my office for prayer, it's a miracle they even still come to church sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. They come in here sometimes, and I'm like, because I have nowhere else to unload some of those frustrations. They listen to me, and they let me, and they receive it, thank God. Why? Because after all this, again, God reaffirming his promises. Now listen, here's what I'm going to preach to you. And there are people here today, I'm trying to reaffirm God's promises. Hand me a chair, please. Now, I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just going to be honest. So please, this is me pushing now. This is me pushing. My son come home after his first day of basketball practice this year. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I just make it run. We just going to run and run. No, he wasn't whining like that. Oh, my God, this is all just run and run. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. But you know what? Coach didn't care. He said, be back here tomorrow. We're doing it again. That's okay. You're okay. Oh, God, I could preach for a second. You're okay if somebody will get your son a trophy and recognition. But you'll let him go to hell and not even bat an eyelid. And so here I am today. I'm preaching. God's good. God's promises. God's this. God's that. Don't forget. You're heading there. You haven't given up yet. You've come a long way. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not being, I'm just, some people are like, oh, God, when is this going to be over? You know why? Because of cruel bondage and anguish of spirit. Because you are in such torment. Because God has not been able to bring you completely out of Egypt yet. And I need you to understand, that's not who you are. That is not who you are. You are suffering, and I know it, and God knows it. But I'm here because I want you to stop suffering. And I want you to believe that God has a plan for your life. That God has a promise. So all this back and forth, faith, then pressure, worship, then hardship. Why? Because a promise is powerful, but a promise alone is not enough. Because the promise and the fulfillment, there is a process. There's a process between the promise and the fulfillment. And the process often looks like confusion or resistance or pressure or delay. Because God knows what he's doing. They prayed and they cried out, God, if you hear me. Some of you, in the loneliness of your home, when nobody was there, you think nobody knows, but God knows. He heard you as you walked around that house, empty inside and dying. He heard you. God, there's got to be something more. There's got to be a way. There's got to be a fix to all this. Something's got to change. God, if you're real, he heard you. And he began the process. Yes, he didn't just zap you out, because that's not how God works, for many reasons that I cannot get into today. They cried and they believed initially. They just didn't realize the path forward. Because pressure causes amnesia. And you forget about that day that you cried out. You forget how desperate you were. The taskmasters, the weight, all cause them to forget their prayers. And God's promises. So, God sometimes has to push us forward. Moses had to keep pushing. And people don't like to be pushed. On the surface. I told the church Friday night at prayer. Hey, anybody in here watch football? Raise your hand. There's more than that. You guys are a bunch of Scrooges. Sometimes that ball carrier will be within a yard or two from the goal line. I need like five guys up here. Come on. All right, Dakota, you can be the ball carrier. And so you're here. You face this way. This right here is the line. This is the goal line right here. Sometimes, and I just watched it. Happens all the time. The ball carrier gets the ball. Hold on, I need six more guys. Come on, Kenny. He got rid of the baby. He's like, I'm going up, honey. Take this baby. You guys go over there because you're the lineman. You're the lineman. Matthew, you're too small to be a lineman, but we'll use you today. I'm too small to be a lineman too. Don't worry. All right, come on, a couple more guys. Come on, Kevin. Come on. I know you want to come. I can see it, honey. I really want to go. I need some more guys. There we go. Thank you, Pastor Klein. Come on, Braden. Come on up here. Come on. Oh, TJ, you aren't getting out of this one. Come on, you're too tall, sitting there looking too cute. Come on. You're over here. Now listen, you watch football? You? You saying that? So your wife thinks you're tough? Okay. You watch football? You? Oh, my God. All right, well, sometimes in a football game, the ball carrier, I need a ball. Someone give me a ball. Here's my ball. Here's my ball. Sometimes the ball carrier is trying to get across the line with the word of God. And there's the end zone right there. Right past that first row of chairs, just those first legs. You got to get over there, but you got a bunch of devils standing in your way. They're called defensive linemen. And they do not want you crossing that line. So you know what happens in football? When you're a yard or two out, a lot of times he'll go and he gets a run in, and his lineman will get behind him and they'll push him across that line. Now listen, I want you to go and I want you to stop him there, and I want you to, well, they need more guys. Come on, Brother Doug. Come on. We need Brother Vince, come on. They're gonna need more help. It's kind of like when somebody is falling away from God and we got to get them across that line, we got to call in some reinforcements. Now listen, I need some of you bigger guys right here in the middle. I mean, look, everybody's on this side and he'll help this man out. And so I want you to go over that line. I want you to go and I want you to get across it. And if he can't get it, I mean, you push him until he crosses that line. Get behind him. If he gets hurt, do we have a waiver here? Do we have a waiver? I need you to go on camera and say, yes, you got a waiver. No liability. All right, let's go. Go. Get across that line. Go. Push him, guys. Push him. Come on. Get him across that line. Go on. Come on. There you go. There you go. There you go. There. Dakota, you still alive? Thank God. I was scared. Sometimes that's what we have to do. Sometimes we get stonewalled. We get stopped dead in our tracks because of opposition. That's where the church comes in. You need some men that will get behind the ball carrier as linemen and say, we're going to get you across the goal line one way or another. But you got to be pushed. You can't make it on your own. You got to let yourself be pushed sometimes to get across the line. Now here's the key. Normally when they're pushing, watch this. Are you ready for it? I dare to say the ball carrier can't see the line. Why? He's got all these big defensive linemen in front of him, all this opposition. He can't see the line. But you know what? Some of those bigger linemen behind him, they're just big enough. They're tall enough. They know where the line's at. Hey, we'll keep pushing. We got some referees. They're watching the line. Listen to me. God's watching the line. He knows when you get across, there ain't no devil in hell gonna stop you. There's nothing that he can do. You gotta let yourself be pushed sometimes. Sometimes that running back will run through that line, he finds a big hole, he goes in just like nothing. He's like, oh, that was easy. Other times they sandwich him to get him through. The linemen know the direction. I don't have the verse. I don't think I put it in there. Sometimes the pastor, he doesn't see the way forward either. I ain't gonna lie to you. Sometimes all you do is you keep plowing forward in faith.
I'm being flat out honest with you. There are times your vision is so clear, you can see heaven from where you're standing. And there are sometimes there's so much junk in the way and so much opposition and so much garbage and so much, so many devils and so much flesh that you can't see past the front of your shoes. And you're like, God, am I supposed to keep moving? Have you gotten across the line yet? Well, no, keep moving. I can't see. It's all right. I got some big linemen behind you. They'll help get you across the line. And so all you do is you just keep going in faith. And let me tell you something. That's where Moses struggled. He's trying to relay that faith to them. They're not buying it. I like how the scripture says Moses stood in the way. Because sometimes people think that the pastor's standing in the way of you and what you want. That's the way they view you. You're just standing in the way. But I can still see the goal line. Just keep pushing. Bible says that God knows the beginning from the end. He knows where you started. He knows where you're going. And that's why we have to trust him. Blind faith, just trust him. Trust those men behind you, those women behind you. Are you sure we're heading towards the goal line? We are. You positive? Yeah, I can see. Okay, I'm trusting you. Just trust him. So I'm asking you this morning for your permission to push you out of your complacency. I'm not going to push if you tell me absolutely not. We've pushed a lot of people across the goal line over the years. My mom just crossed the goal line. Your daughter crossed the goal line. There are others in here, you've lost loved ones and they've crossed that goal line. I remember there were times I'd be sitting in my office getting ready for Sunday morning service, many times. I felt this nudge, I picked up my phone. They don't even know this. I called my mom. I'd text her. I'd say, why not? She'd say, why not what? So why aren't you coming to church? Who said I'm not coming to church? And then she'd start going to the reason why she wasn't going to come to church that day. Sometimes you got to be pushed across the goal line. It'd be a Wednesday night. I'd call her up. Y'all don't know this. Why aren't you coming? Who said I'm not coming? I said, the Lord did. Well, you don't understand. I'm in so much pain. I know you're in pain. But you got to get across the goal line. You don't know how I feel. I know. But you got to get across the goal line. You're not there yet. You can't let this become a habit. I know you're not feeling good, but you got to get across the goal line. I know you don't feel hope right now, but you have to get across the goal line. See, sometimes a promise is not enough. We need someone to push us across the goal line. Why? Because so many years of living in Egypt, so many years of speaking Egyptian, so many years of serving the Egyptians, 420 to be exact. If you're sitting here today, I'm finishing. If you're sitting here, I need you to think about how many generations of your family have not been in church. God is trying to break that bondage. He's trying to deliver you from your taskmasters. And that Pharaoh's going to rise up and say, I'm going to put more work on you. And I'll keep doing it until you stop hearing those vain words that God can, God can, God can. And I'm going to keep doing it until you stop wanting to go to church on Sunday morning. Until the desire just goes away. And then there comes Moses. Come on, you got to push a little bit. You got to push. I don't know why pastor always has to push. He's always got to push. I come on Sunday. Isn't that enough? No. I've watched too many people. They didn't cross the goal line. They came. Just came on Sunday. Why? Because they were still overladen. They're overwhelmed with the bondage of Egypt. So, let me push you across the goal line today. Why? I have no vested interest. I need to get to heaven first and foremost because God sent somebody that loves you. Is that not good enough?
Let me push you to fast. Let me push you to pray. Let me push you to be more involved. Let me push you in your personal life. Because sometimes it does take more than a promise. We are all people of God's promises. But too many people gave up before they got across the goal line. One last scripture, Exodus 13, 17. I don't know how I'm doing on time. Probably going a little long. While you're turning there, the one that pushed, they got there to that first battle with the Amalekites. There's always the first battle once you get in church. And you all remember that first battle? I do. That first big battle. The one you think is going to take you out and take you down. And they get there. And the one that was always pushing needed somebody to hold his arms up so he could keep pushing. Because the one that pushes sometimes gets weary and gets tired of pushing. And thank God, there were some men that were observant. And they ran up there and they put a rock under Moses. And they said, we'll hold your hands up. Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing. Just keep pushing. And they pushed. And every time he pushed, Israel would win. But whenever he would get weary, he would stop pushing. They would lose. And so there came that help. Came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Wouldn't the easy path always be the best path? God, I wish I could have avoided this time of my life. But if you'll listen to me, if you'll hear me this morning, you will look back and you will thank God that he did not take you a different way. Because you'll see what he did. Because God knows. The moment you cried out, he laid the path out. Not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God didn't want us saying, that's why I'm just better off not going to church. That's why I'm better off by myself at home. Well, then why am I going through this now? Because you're in the right way. God knows you can make it. He knows somebody will push you across that line if necessary. Because he put the right people in your life. There is no football team that is complete with one player. It doesn't matter how good he is or how great his stats are. Everybody needs a team. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. In chapter 6, verse 12 of Deuteronomy, you don't have that. 40 years later, the scripture says the Lord is speaking again to Moses, and he said, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. 40 years later, God is still pushing. Don't forget. 40 years later, don't forget. Don't forget how you felt when you first cried out in Egypt. Don't forget how you felt when you first came to the Lord. Don't forget. God avoided the easiest path. He foresaw the potential fear and hesitation. The Israelites were still inexperienced. They were fearful, untrained. And if they encountered war, they would have panicked. God never puts a major battle on you in the beginning of your journey. That's why the first major battle was fought with prayer, not with weapons. It was fought with weapons, but it wasn't won that way. Because our weapons of warfare are not carnal. You know why the enemy doesn't want you praying? That's why. God wanted to prevent them from regretting their freedom and returning to Egypt. So I say this to you in closing. God's guidance isn't always the shortest or easiest path.
But it is the path that protects us and keeps us from self-destruction. Now hear me, if you would. When you say the word testimony, I wonder what comes to your mind. I don't know. Some of you, you might be able to get up and take the microphone and go on for an hour. Not testifying of worldly things, but godly things. I could sit here and I could talk to you all day about the miracles and the testimonies in my life. All day. I wouldn't need a book. I wouldn't need a note. I could just go and go and go and go. You know how? Because somewhere along the way, somebody pushed me when I wanted to quit. And somebody was there to get me across my goal line when I was ready to give up. Hell is afraid of your testimony. Hell does not want your word getting out to others like you that you could help, that you could encourage, that you could get them across the goal line. You know why? Because you say, well, when I was there, I remember. I'm finishing. I know I've shared this with you, but it was probably 2 years ago now, I think, year and a half ago. I'd gone through some gut-wrenching stuff, and one night I was out in my bed, and I said, God, I don't want to get up tomorrow morning. I don't want to walk out there and see one person. I was paranoid. Paranoia had completely overtaken me. And I grabbed my iPad and I just emailed Bishop Ellis. I said, have you ever felt this way before? I said, I'm paranoid. I don't want to be around people. I said, I'm afraid to get out and leave my house. The next morning, I walked right up here before church. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you quit fighting. And I immediately felt something released from me. After that service, Colin drove me to Ashtabula. And on the way there, I opened up my iPad, checked my email, and there was Billy Ellis. He said, I couldn't type fast enough when I read your email. Why? He said, I was there. He said, I was consumed by fear. It was killing me. He said, I walked in. I had an elderly mother walk into my office one day. And she said, Pastor, she says, you're not fighting. He says, all I can say, Brother Scott, is you got to fight. And that's exactly what God spoke to me that morning. Somebody was there to push me when I couldn't push myself. His testimony became my testimony, which I now pray becomes your testimony. And so today, I say to somebody, fight! You got to fight. And our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. And they're mighty through God to the tearing down of Egyptian strongholds in your life. You got to fight. Lift your hands when you don't feel like it and fight. Lift your voice when you don't feel like it and fight. Get out of your seat when you don't feel like it and drag yourself to the altar. And if you can't, ask somebody else. Grab me if I don't go up today, because I got to get up there. If I don't get to that altar today, I might die right where I'm at. I'm here to tell you that sometimes it takes more than a promise. We need somebody to push. And so can I push you this morning one last time? If you feel that, you feel weak, you feel weary, you feel like quitting up, you barely made it today, can I push you to this altar? Can I push you? Come on, I'm going to push you. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm not going to stop pushing. Why? Because you got to get across the goal line. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. I hope I didn't butcher this message today. I hope it made some sense. You're not a failure because you need push sometimes. It's not like God. He's not disappointed. God knew. He knew every struggle. He knew you'd be here today because he knows the beginning from the end. I want you to do me a favor before we start praying. Not right now, but at some point before you leave this altar, I'm going to plead with you. Before you leave this altar, if you need push when nobody's watching, we're just all going about our business, I want you to lean over to somebody you trust. I don't care if it's your son, your daughter, your mother, your aunt, your best friend. I don't care if it's your enemy, and just say, listen, will you push me right now? I need pushed a little bit. It's okay. It's okay. God, help us this morning. Lord, help us this morning. Help us, Lord, first of all, God, help us to remember, God, when we first cried out to you. Help us to remember how we felt when we first looked to you. God, the uneasiness, but we knew there has to be a better way. There's got to be a different way. God, help us, I pray. Help us this morning, I pray, Jesus. Lord, I pray you remind us of our promise this morning. God, remind us of our promise. Remind us. Let us remember. Let us remember, God, where we're going. Where we're going. Where we're headed. Help us this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray right now you let your presence begin to flow over every person in this building. Let it flow, I pray. In the name of the Lord, let it flow, I pray. Jesus, let your angels, I pray, march through this sanctuary right now. Jesus, let your angels, oh God, begin to move in our midst right now. God, I pray he who is here today with weary hands, that you will release them from that bondage so they can lift their hands high towards heaven and magnify the Lord of lords and the King of all kings. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
And I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing.
If somebody's on your heart, go to them. Don't talk to them. Just put your hand
Jesus,
on their shoulder.
You don't know
and push them in the spirit.
Anything.
Push them in the spirit. Hallelujah.
And more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence.
Come on, let God pass your walls. Let your tears flow and let him heal you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't fight him. Let him in.
I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. And more than anything that you can do, I just want. When I've just gone through the motions, I'm sorry. When I just sang another song, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry, 'cause I'm sorry. Come with my agenda, I'm sorry. When I forgot that you're enough, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm caught up. I'm caught up in your presence. sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blame. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. Oh, I'm caught up in your presence. I'm caught up in your presence. To sit here at your feet, I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. Oh, I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. And I just want you. Nothing else. I'm caught up in your presence. Yes, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. It's more than anything that you can do. I just want.
Please don't open your eyes and stop yet. I want them to get something ready in the back because I want the platform's help down here as well. We just need to push for a couple more minutes this morning. You feel led to go to somebody, go to them right now. Don't let anything stop you.
If you got your spouse or one of your kids here, join with them right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh. Don't open your eyes, but I want to talk to some of you who've been here a while and you've backed off a lot. I need you to shake yourself loose this year. Get back to prayer on Friday nights. Get back to Wednesday services. Those of you who've been here a long time, we need you. Where would Moses be without Aaron and Hur? They were two of the longest men that were with him. Don't give up now. Don't back up now. We need you now more than ever. Hallelujah. Come on, call unto the Lord and bless him right now. Jesus.
Let's be respectful for those that are praying. Pastor did want me to remind everybody that if you would RSVP for the end of year banquet, see Sister Natalie. But other than that, let's just close in prayer. God, we're so thankful for the word that we heard today. I pray, Lord, that we don't leave this word at this altar today, but God, that we would walk home into our homes tonight, Lord. And God, that we would carry this word, Lord, understanding, God, that there's work behind these promises. God, that we would continue to, with our walk with you, Lord, and continue to grow and continue to walk with you. And I pray, God, that you give us strength, give us boldness, God, and help this year, God, be different, Lord, than last year. And I pray, Lord, that we could see things, God, that we've never seen before done, Lord, in this very building, God, this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.